This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
All the caregivers around the world today, it's time to lift you up. It's time to celebrate. Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers with love, laughter, and lessons learned. And we have Mr. Ed on the boards today. How you doing, Ed?
Well, happy Friday. Nice weather outside. Everything's good.
Yeah, it's all good. All good. And with me is my best friend, my co-host, and my sidekick, not psychic, Lynn Thornley.
Good afternoon. Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year.
God. I went to bed at 9:30.
I went to bed at 8:30.
Oh, you beat me.
I was very happy. I was very happy. I don't need to be. I did wake up, though, around midnight because there was fireworks. I could hear fireworks. And I said, Happy New Year. And
I'm
back to sleep. So it was all good. And with us on the show today, we have Doug Castano from Veterans Funeral Home.
Hi, thank you for having me, and Happy New Year to everybody.
Yes, welcome. And Sean Scott is on the way. I want to give a shout-out to our newest listeners. We have Marissa in Palm Harbor. We have Janice in Seminole, and we have Judy in Tampa.
Welcome, ladies.
And hopefully we have other new listeners, because yesterday was the big conference.
Yes, and it was very good. We also have Teresa and Bob from Clearwater.
Oh, hello, Teresa and Bob from Clearwater. But the conference yesterday, we met a lot of new people, and two ladies said when they were leaving, I'm going to listen to your show tomorrow.
Aww.
I said, that is really good, because you know what? You don't know what you don't know. And it was fabulous because people learned a lot of things there yesterday. Like I was saying earlier, there were all resources there for seniors that don't cost anything.
Free.
Yeah.
Free.
Things that are available in your community that people didn't know about. Programs that weren't available, that they didn't know about. And it delights me when you see people walking in, because they come in and they're tired just walking in. And then after a while, they start perking up a little bit. And then they had a great breakfast and lunch, too.
Absolutely.
And then we had Dr. Nancy Schlossberg was our keynote speaker. And she is 93 years old.
Gives us hope, Lenny.
Oh, my goodness. She lives in Sarasota. She has a driver. It was fabulous. She came in, and she was sitting at a table by herself, as other people were. And I went over, and I said, hi, how are you? And she looked at me and she said, when does the speaker go on? I said, are you Dr. Schlossberg? And she said, yes. So I sat down and I started chatting with her, and she was just lovely, and she just inspired the audience. When she said she was 93 years old, everybody in the room went, oh!
Did she stand while she came?
Yeah, stand, walking
around.
She
stood around. the whole time?
She had a couple of notes on the podium, that was it.
Wow.
She was a professor for 30 years. She has, I don't know, 8 books. And the whole thing was that, you know, she was just trying to talk to people about resilience. If you're going to survive in life, you need to have resilience. But she talked about her granddaughter that recently went to a new school and didn't know anybody there and wasn't feeling comfortable mm-hmm. with anything. So she decided to join the track team. And now she has a whole group of gals.
Yeah.
You know, and so she was resilient. She figured out a way. You know, many people wouldn't do that. They would just go there every day and complain. You know, I don't like the school. So did you like it there yesterday, Doug?
I thought it was absolutely fabulous. I was not prepared to be floored when I walked in the door and saw everything that was there. It was truly amazing, and next time I would love to be more of a part of it.
Yeah.
Than just a spectator. I'd love to be in front of as many people as I can, and you know, especially veterans and all
definitely.
Their families. So.
Yeah, and you have a lot of good stuff to share, too. You know, we will be doing more of these. I don't know how often. People want us to do it every 3 months. We were talking about every 6 months, but we'll have to see. But there are so many resources and information to get out there into the community. And what better to have a whole group of people together at the same time?
And the respite care was a wonderful thing.
With Neighborly Care Network, God bless them.
And I think the more people would hear about it, you're going to need a bigger venue at some point, and you're going to have, you know, it'll be twice the size it is in
it's
that
okay.
time.
We can go to Ruth Eckert Hall.
That would be great.
Really, there was a caregiver conference there many years ago. It was absolutely fabulous. That was with Kim Linder, who was the first caregiver girl radio show a long time ago. But yeah, well, the thing is now that everybody's starting to get back out.
Absolutely.
For so long, nobody was getting out. Everybody was afraid. So that was, I just started live support groups again probably 2 months ago. I still have my Zoom support groups. But that was my first big live event. Hi, Sean.
Hey, welcome to me.
Yes, welcome to you. So we were just chatting that yesterday was the big conference at the Largo Community Center.
Yeah, how'd it go?
Fabulous.
That's a great session. Really.
And I was saying what the nice thing about it was that you saw people walking in tired already. You know.
Sure.
But then when they started learning about some resources, and when they started getting some tips and some different things, all of a sudden it lit up.
Yeah. That's a great program. Really good information.
It was, yeah. And the Largo Police Department, God bless them.
Yeah.
And
Officer Joel.
Yeah.
Yeah, we love that guy.
Yeah.
The room that they had us go in with the glasses and
the virtual dementia tour.
The virtual dementia tour was really, really neat.
Did you do that?
I did do that, and it's I think everyone should experience that to know what, you know, folks who have dementia go
feel
through
like,
on,
yeah,
on an everyday
how
basis.
How did you feel when you came out?
It was more going in because you're very confused. You can't have a hard time hearing. All your motor skills are kind of
messed up,
so to speak. And you only have about half of them. You know, you have those gloves on, and then it's very eye-opening.
Enlightening.
To
yeah.
know what goes people go through. But
everybody I know that goes through it says I understand better. I have more empathy. You know, I get it. Yeah. Lynn went through it. She laughed like a joke. Me, I was freaking out.
Why were you laughing?
No, because Linda came out and she was so angry. She was so angry because she couldn't do anything.
You were mad?
Yes.
I couldn't do it.
And I came out and I was like, and then I got reprimanded because I had a potty mouth because you walk in and there's light flashing.
Not you.
Yeah.
I blamed it on Linda, but the lady said, no, it was you.
Oh my God.
I tried to get out of it, Sean.
Well, but doesn't it give you a little bit of different perspective and insight? Mm-hmm. You don't normally would never have that
until
you go through it and walk a mile in their shoes, so to speak.
Yeah. But you know, you come out and you feel
a lot more empathy and a lot more understanding.
Yeah. And that goes a whole long way.
Yep, big time.
So, Sean, yesterday at the conference, I met a lot of people, of course.
Of course.
And people started sending me emails and things. And
oh, good. Questions
for
me?
For
oh, I love it. What do you got?
I have a question for you. First, she asked one question, and she said, I also have another question. She's talking about her neighbor or her friend, and she said, her husband is in a nursing home, and he qualified for Medicaid. My question is, does the nursing home attach his Social Security check in addition to the Medicaid? She has continued to see his Social Security check in their checking account. I'm concerned that she may have to pay this money back if she spends it.
Oh, that's great. See, when you go into a nursing home in a husband and wife scenario, the person that goes into the nursing home has an obligation to pay part of the nursing home bill.
Okay.
That's called a patient responsibility. That's the technical term for it. But you got to pay part of your own way. How much you have to pay is usually pegged at what your income is, and that would include a Social Security check.
Okay.
So what the nursing home typically does is they bill that person for that patient responsibility on a monthly basis, and you owe that part of the bill. Medicaid picks up the rest, but you owe that part of the bill.
Oh.
Here's where it gets a little interesting. When there's a spouse in the picture, that spouse can sometimes divert the payment that would go to the nursing home as patient responsibility over to them so that it can help support them in their environment.
Okay.
It's called a spousal diversion because you're diverting the money that would have gone to the nursing home. You're diverting that income over to the spouse that's in the community that's healthy. How much you can divert, that's a formula. Depends upon what her income is, what her housing costs are. In some of our cases, for example, 100% of the husband's, in this case, income would go over to her, and she would have no obligation to pay the nursing home.
Right.
And sometimes it's a portion, and it depends. Normally, she's getting a bill, or should be getting a bill from the nursing home. She needs to pay that.
But okay. If she's not getting one?
Then she may not have a patient responsibility to pay for them.
Should she ask?
She should definitely ask.
Definitely ask, because she'll get zapped.
Yeah, I don't want to be zapped in the future and say, you never tell me.
And nobody wants to pay back that money after they were, because you have that money to use for your bills.
And we've had those cases happen in the past. So the question is, should you ask? Absolutely. Figure out what the heck's going on.
But sometimes people are just so afraid to ask.
You don't want the wrong answer. Well, the wrong answer, there is no wrong answer. You need to know what that answer is.
Ed, do we have a caller on the line? Hello?
Hello? Do we have a caller on the line?
We have one, I guess.
Are you still there?
I'm here. I thought I had to hold on for a while, but I guess he patched me right through.
Okay, you're here. Thanks.
Hi. I have a question for Sean. I was a caregiver for my uncle who had Parkinson's disease and my boyfriend who had traumatic brain injury.
Can you talk a little bit louder, please?
Sure. I was a caregiver for over 8.5 years. That's how I met Linda.
Oh, good.
And so I got cancer, and then a year and a half ago, I got ovarian cancer, and I didn't have any health insurance, and I was in the hospital, and the social worker there told me she was going to file a disability claim on me. And I said, well, I'm not really disabled, am I? And she said, well, yeah, you kind of are. Plus, this will help your Medicaid kick in. So she did it. And I had Medicaid, got it pretty fast, and it paid for everything. And I'm cancer-free still, but I'm still getting once a month visits with my oncologist, and he gives me an anti-cancer medicine and, some other medications that I need to take, too. But the point is, my uncle passed away in January a year ago yesterday. He had Parkinson's. I was his caregiver. He left me the house, the condo we live in. But he also left me just a little bit of cash, not a bunch, but I thought, well, I'm not going to have to worry now, And when I applied for the disability, I didn't realize it was happening. And then I went online, Social Security office, because I'm 62, and they said I could get my Social Security early. And I thought, well, that'd be good, because I've got the cash inheritance, but I didn't have any other income.
Oh, my goodness. Lots going
right?
on.
So, yeah, I had a lot going on, and that's not even half of it.
No, goodness.
But the point is that they... when I had the interview with the SSI, they approved me for the SSI low-income disability, but then they cut off my Medicaid and only let me have the SSI for a few months because I got my inheritance June 1st.
Correct.
So, all of this is happening so quick. I don't know. It's got me a little overwhelmed. But
you have to have surgery, right?
Yeah, now I have to have a surgery, which I put off a couple months already because of the holidays and everything. But it turns out it's not cancer. They did a biopsy. I have a polyp that they couldn't get.
But you're worried about the medical coverage for that.
Yeah, I'm worried about everything, but yes.
I'm worried about everything. You got a lot of everything going
Medicaid,
on.
But Medicaid is something I took for granted, and I'm grateful that I had it for a year and a half because it covered all my cancer, my surgery. I had a radical hysterectomy and chemotherapy and all that. And now, I thought I was doing good, and then this came up. They did a biopsy,
but
I have to have surgery removed, and it's not cancerous.
Well, that's good.
But if I leave it in there, it'll become cancerous or cause me other problems like bowel obstruction and pain and whatever.
And now you're losing your Medicaid.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's just all I didn't even think of that when they first denied me for the disability of the SSI because of my inheritance. Because I said, I thought inheritance doesn't count as income. And then the woman at SSI said,
It's not so much an income issue. For SSI eligibility, you have to meet certain financial eligibility requirements, such as what your income is and what your assets are. So
right.
When you got this inheritance, all of a sudden you have more stuff and more assets. And you weren't living in that home, right?
I was living here with my uncle and my boyfriend for 8 years, and he left me the condo for taking care of him.
So you got the house that you're living in from your uncle, is that correct? All right, you're living in that house shouldn't be counted as your asset. So that doesn't hurt you, but you got some additional funds, correct?
Yeah, I got more than $2,000 in the bank, which told me that's why I was...
Correct. So there are things that you can do to protect yourself from that loss of benefits that are pretty easy. One of the things that we'll use in some of those circumstances is something called a pooled trust. If you give my office a call, I can give you all the details on who to call regarding setting that up. Fairly straightforward, and you might be able to get back on SSI and reinstate your Medicaid benefits.
Wow.
Well, that would be good. I thought that you do that kind of thing before my uncle passed away, that now that there's nothing I can do.
Yeah, before is, you know, obviously that's that
better.
Helps, but but sometimes you don't have a before because things happen and you kind of find yourself standing
that's
in
right.
a place where you're like, how did I get here? I think you can get yourself out of that place pretty easily. Again, give my office a call at 727-539-0181 and get on my schedule for a little phone conference with me, and we'll talk about how to solve that problem.
Oh, we can do a phone conference?
Yep, absolutely. There's definitely a solution for that.
Oh, wonderful.
Awesome. Thank you so
much.
I'm glad you called.
I'm really glad you called, girlfriend. Oh,
thank you. Me too. Thanks for suggesting it, Linda. I'm just so confused.
All right. Have a delicious day.
Okay. You too.
Bye, honey.
Everyone. Thank you. Bye.
All right, Sean, we have some other questions that were sent in.
I'm glad I showed up today.
I am too.
I was a little delayed.
I was going to answer for you, but they wouldn't let me.
Oh, okay. Here's the other one. My elder is receiving VA benefits. Can we sell or rent the homestead?
Oh, that's a good question. So VA benefits, just like Medicaid has its own, and we have a VA guy here with us too. I'd like to have him chime in on this. VA benefits have financial eligibility requirements, assets, and income as well. One of the interesting things is your house isn't counted as an asset. But historically, if you rent that house or sell it, you're now going to convert it into an asset that can disqualify you from Medicaid benefits. But here's some scuttlebutt that I haven't actually confirmed yet, and maybe we can get some more insight on this, is that we've recently heard some rumor in the chain that the VA has been easing up a little bit on the renting of the house situation. So, but
not the selling, the renting.
The renting of it.
Doug is with Veterans Funeral Care, not the VA.
I don't know. Well, I saw the big veterans.
Just so you know, I
have his brochures.
He's not piping in.
I have his brochures in my office.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's this new thing, and I don't have 100% on that. Currently researching to see if that's actually true or not.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what the rules that I were taught, but I have heard that maybe there's some.
So at this time, that person would not want to sell or rent their homestead.
Yeah, and here's a place where you might be able to get a quicker and easier answer.
Mm-hmm.
In Pinellas County, there's a great organization that's run through the Pinellas County government called the Veterans Service Office.
Okay.
We call them the Veterans Service Officers, or VSOs. These guys are hired by Pinellas County. They work for Pinellas County, and their job is to help Pinellas County residents get on VA benefits. They are absolutely spectacular. They do a great job. They're highly motivated, great people. I would suggest give the VSO a call.
Okay.
And you can find it online, Veterans Service Office.
Right.
Give them a call and ask them that question. Is there any truth to the fact that I might be able to rent the house and still protect my benefits?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Good.
Yeah, you know, the good thing is get your information first. I'm glad you asked these questions.
No, great questions, yeah.
Because, you know, I bump into too many people that didn't ask questions and made terrible decisions.
Yeah.
That they're really suffering for now when there could have been an easy solution.
Yeah, don't make a decision in a vacuum. There's lots of resources that are out there to get some help. Sometimes, however, the other problem is there's too much information out there. And I love when my clients come and they sit down in the conference room and they say, well, Sean, the internet says.
Yeah, well.
And we're going to spend a half hour, 45 minutes of unlearning them from what they've learned on the internet, because that's not always the right answer,
right,
believe it or not. So.
Right. And especially in these things that are so important.
It's not like
I'm going for a strawberry shortcake recipe.
And I've kind of weeded out there on the, you know, gone out on the internet and kind of pretended to be a person that doesn't know, right? And I say, okay, well, if I have this question about Medicaid, for example, can I ... Can I keep my house? Can I sell the house? How much?
Right.
And I plug those questions into the internet. And the amount of answers that I get back
is
unbelievable.
Really?
And almost none of them are right, because it's just little snippets of information that have no context.
Or it's old information. Old information.
So,
that's what I find.
Especially in my world of Medicaid. Boy, I tell you, I don't think you can solve this on the internet.
I don't either.
It's not. You
have to call you.
Well, they have to call somebody like me, for sure. I'm a good person to call. I've been doing it for 33 years, right? So, but you definitely need some professional assistance with somebody that does this on a routine basis. And preferably, in my world, an elder law attorney, not some non-professional.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, right now it's time to hear from our wonderful partners. So you know the deal. If you don't hear from them, you don't hear from me. So don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you looking for compassionate and dependable home care for you or a loved one? Assisting Hands Home Care, serving Pinellas and Pasco counties, can help.
The day came that taking care of my mother was no longer the best thing for me or for her. Between kids and a job, I couldn't give her the attention she needed and deserved, and I was overwhelmed. So I reached out to Assisting Hands Home Care. Now I can see what an important decision that was, and I feel confident that my mother has compassionate and dependable caregivers who help her to stay happy, healthy, and home. Today, I'm able to visit with my mother and enjoy our time together, which is exactly what we both needed.
Assisting Hands Home Care. Call today for your free in-home consultation. In Pinellas, call 727-748-4211 or visit assistinghands.com. When you can't do it all, give Assisting Hands a call.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Sean W. Scott has been practicing elder law and qualifying clients for Medicaid for over 30 years. While his practice is in all areas of estate planning, such as durable power of attorney, healthcare surrogates, and wills, he also prides himself on having a 100% accuracy rate on getting clients approved for Medicaid. Why Medicaid, you may ask? Do you want to pay up to $16,000 a month for a nursing home should the time come? Obviously, no one wants to have to endure this cost. So, even though you may have planned well for retirement, the reality is, things happen. Planning ahead is never too soon. You need to make sure your income and assets are protected so that you can take care of you and your loved ones. Florida law is very specific on how and what is protected and how to protect it. Give Sean a call. He can help. 727-539-0181. That's 727-539-0181.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
And we're back.
Oh.
So we introduced Doug a little while ago, and I'd like to talk to him a little bit further. Doug is from Veterans Funeral Care. And I have to tell you, years ago, I moved to Florida 22 years ago. My first networking group I went to, it was a weekly networking group, and there was a girl there that worked for a cemetery, and she said, funeral costs double every 7 years.
Wow.
And I thought, I'm going to be living a long time. So I think it was very responsible that I'm going to go and do this. So I made arrangements for myself and my husband to go to, I'm not going to say the name of the place, but a very beautiful place locally.
Down the street from Jack and I.
Yes, down the street from you and Jack. Except they're in the big mausoleum. We're cremated in the Rose Garden. And I didn't find out until many years later that my husband could have been buried in a veteran's cemetery or anything about that. The people didn't ask me when I made the, because they just wanted to sell me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very disappointed. And during COVID, my husband passed away. So they're not having any kind of ceremony. You know, nobody's having anything. But they never even gave me a flag. And he was a veteran. You think they could have at least given me a flag.
Gotcha.
And it must have been a couple of months later. I was at Veterans Funeral Home meeting with my friend Brenda there, talking about some other business. And I had said that about the flag. And about a half hour later, as we're chatting, there was a knock at the door. And these very formal military guys come in with a flag for my husband.
Wow.
Yeah.
And gave me the flag. I know, it brings tears to your eyes.
Unannounced? Unannounced.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like she told them, she went out of the room and told them this girl never, and they just put it all together.
We'll fix that.
And came in and said the whole story, and my heart.
in my heart. So they're like, I like this place. I want to do business. And I love what they have. They have a museum there. So tell us more about Veterans Funeral Care.
Well, you mentioned the museum. And the museum is all donations. We haven't purchased anything that's inside the museum. Everything was donated to us from families.
Yeah, one of my caregivers gave me a uniform I brought down there.
You know, we have all kinds of uniforms from all branches. A couple highlights that we have is Navy SEAL Danny Dietz. He was in the Afghanistan, and if you saw the movie Lone Survivor, he was the first main character to get killed in action. And we have kind of bonded with his mother, Jim Rudolph has, and we have his Navy SEAL uniform under glass. We have a foundation for him that we've raised thousands of dollars for. So it's not something that we take lightly when it comes to serving veterans and their families.
I have to tell you, I was there one day for a meeting about something else, and there was a veteran had passed away, and they were having a little ceremony there, and he had no family, and there were vets everywhere.
Wow.
With their motorcycles, with their... Just to take him from, I could cry, just to take him from there to the cemetery.
Wow.
That's a big deal.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's once word gets out that there's a veteran with no family and it gets to the veteran community, they really come out in full force. And, you know, next thing you know, you got, you know, a few hundred guys on Harleys and motorcycles. And, you know, they ride right along to this national cemetery, and it is really something to
see.
Yeah, they are brothers in arms for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I love that. I love that. So do you have to be a veteran, though, too?
You do not. That's one of the biggest questions we get is, do I have to be a veteran? Or somebody will say, well, I'm not a veteran. And Veterans Funeral Care serves all veterans and their families. It could be a brother, sister, uncle.
Wow.
You know, father, grandfather, grandmother, you know, there's everyone in some way, shape, or form is related to a veteran.
That's true.
Down the line.
You would think so.
Yeah. So,
what about Canadian veterans? We don't do those.
Oh, gosh.
I'm from Canada.
She wants it all.
She wants it all.
So, what kind of benefits are the veterans and their spouses entitled to?
So, once you get inside the cemetery gates at a national cemetery, that is when all your veterans' benefits kick in.
Okay.
You get the, obviously, if you're going to be buried, you get the plot.
You're saying once you're in the gate.
Once you're inside the gate, the plot, the vault, the marker, obviously, they do the honor guard for the veteran himself, and then their spouse gets the same, except for the honor guard, unless she or he is a veteran.
Right.
And then what most people don't know is veterans who have a disabled child, also, the disabled child can be buried inside a national cemetery.
Yeah, I didn't know that at all.
And obviously, burial costs a lot more than cremation. So from a financial standpoint, going into a national cemetery for cremation is going to save a husband and wife roughly around $9,000 to $10,000.
Wow.
And if you're going to be buried, it's going to be almost double that. It's going to be around $18,000 for a
couple.
Real
estate's expensive.
So real estate is very expensive. So if you served, you know, your country, you earned the right to go into a national cemetery, and it doesn't matter which one you choose, every one of them are absolutely stunning and gorgeous.
If only we knew, wouldn't be where we are.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, and when you say they're gorgeous, because I've done the Wreath Across America down there at the, it is fabulous. That's a beautiful place. It's a lovely, because there's cemeteries that are not nice. You know, you drive past on the road, you're like, does anybody mow the lawn there?
Yeah. Exactly.
You know.
Well, one thing I do want to mention here is, you know, we're privileged enough to have three national cemeteries all within about an hour drive from here. Most of your veterans in this area want to go to Bay Pines, which is, I think, about 100 years old now. And Bay Pines is cremation only, unless you already have a spouse that's been buried there.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
It is cremation only, and I have a lot of vets that want to be buried, but they don't want to go to Bushnell, and then the other option is Sarasota. So that's, you know, that's a discussion that you want to make, you know, have with your family about cremation and burial.
Well, you want to have...
I never knew there was one in Sarasota.
Yeah, the one in Sarasota, I want to say, is about 15 years old.
Okay.
It's right off Route 72. That would be like you're going to Siesta Key Beach. Mm-hmm. When you get off 75, instead of turning right towards the water, you're going to turn left.
Oh, okay.
And it's east of 75, and it's huge. I don't know if it's going to be as big as Bushnell because they're building houses there. But they said it will probably be full in 15 to 20 years.
Wow. Did not know that existed. That's interesting.
Wow. Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah. So let's talk about, which everybody doesn't want to talk about, how important it is in documenting and figuring out your final stuff now while you're alive and healthy.
It's very responsible because sometimes your family or your kids or whoever has to make those decisions don't know. There's 124 questions we're going to ask your family within the first 72 hours. We will send you home with homework to where you can fill all that stuff out so they have it. We'll document as much as we can when we see you beforehand if you want to make, you know, pre-plan and everything. That is a huge issue that we run into, that kids don't know mom and dad's.
They don't know. And you know what?
Information.
I did mine. So when the day comes I die, my daughter makes one phone call. Everything's done, you know.
Yeah.
Because she'd be getting me like the Cadillac of coffins and all of this, and I don't want any of that.
That's a great point.
You just want mom to have the best.
Yeah, no kidding.
There's a lot of emotions that are going on when somebody passes, and then, you know, they're making financial decisions that they probably shouldn't be making, so to speak.
Well, they have nothing even to compare it to.
Absolutely, yeah.
And just go in, here's the bill, that's how much it costs, you know.
Yeah, and it's up north, you know, for generations that have used the same funeral home, they just keep continuing to go to the same funeral home because that's tradition.
Yeah.
All the transplants that have come down here, they are shoppers, and they will shop around, and they'll price check. And I encourage everyone to do that.
Yeah, they should do that. But, like, yeah, so, and also, if they pre-plan and they prepay, they're going to save money.
They're going to save a lot of money.
Inflation is crazy.
Inflation is crazy. Caskets have gone up, I want to say, like 40 to 60% in the last 3 years. And like you said, you know, it is something that costs a lot of money. But if you pre-plan and you prepay, you get locked in at today's prices. So when inflation goes up in 10 years and that funeral will double, or 20 years or 30 years, you're saving your family a lot of money.
And so is there any age discrepancy in pre-planning? Because if I'm 88 and I'm going to pre-plan, I'm not going to live that much longer. But if I'm 29 and I pre-plan...
Yeah, no, I wouldn't think there would be, is there?
There is no age discrepancy at all. Anybody can pre-plan and prepay. Obviously, if you're 29 and you're a thinker and think ahead, that's going to be a big savings if you live to be 90.
Yeah, do that and get your long-term health care insurance too.
Yes. It's something that the younger generation doesn't think about, but if they are those kind of thinkers, kudos to them because they are going to save a ton of money for their family down the road.
Oh, it's like I always say, none of us are getting out of here alive.
Unfortunately,
so,
not.
You know what?
Oh, you think so? Sean, yes,
yeah,
we are.
You both, right? Yep. Yeah. We have a plan.
We planned ahead.
What are you guys drinking?
Whatever the next can.
So, what is away from home assurance?
Away from home assurance is if a freak accident should happen when you're on vacation or out of town. It protects you to where it doesn't cost you or your family thousands of dollars to get you back to have a service.
Okay.
It's something that I encourage people to get. It's not that much money. It's only about $450.
I have that.
And it's worth every penny. I mean, we have folks who were,
especially,
you know,
if you travel.
If you travel that are scuba diving and have an accident, or, you know, on a cruise, or you never know.
I mean, you would know about.
There's a lot of, we see and hear a lot of things, and
leopard seal eats you in Antarctica.
Yeah, you never know.
You never know.
But it is, it's something, if you're a traveler, it's a gamble to, you know, to do, but you never know. I don't have that magic eight ball to where it's going to say, you know, right. I don't know when you're going to, you know.
Hey, I hope I die on vacation.
Absolutely.
You know, I don't know when or where,
but
sitting at home,
just,
you know,
in case.
Dying in my living room.
Margarita in one hand.
Yeah, for years or months or something.
Can you have a payment plan?
You can, yes, you can. You don't have to pay it all off at once. You can pay over time. We use an insurance policy. It's like a whole life insurance policy. So you can pay 3 years, 5 years, or 10 years in the state of Florida. And if something should happen halfway through...
It's done, right?
It's done. You know, you might have only paid for 4 years out of 10 years, and then something happens, and then...
It's still paid off.
It's still paid off.
So but they're not going to do that for a 90-year-old.
No, they're not.
They did it for me. I was very happy.
Not for a 90-year-old, but...
No, 90-year-old, yes. I'd like the 10-year plan.
As you get older, that number will go down to where it might only be 3 years or 5 years or something like that.
Oh, mine's only five. I don't like that. They didn't give me that 10-year option.
Sorry.
But you'll have some guys, they'll kind of do the math, you know, like, well, I'm 73 now and I can do a 10-year plan. I don't know if I'm going to live another 10 years and you know, they'll kind of roll the dice and
you know. Yeah.
So, can I ask a quick question?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So, here's the deal. This is planning's great, and because we're all great planners in the world, right? I have my long-term care insurance in place. I have my fire insurance in place. I have my death insurance in place. What happens if I haven't planned though? And so this is a common situation. I have a client sitting across the conference room table with me. Mom or dad has just died. Let's assume that they were a vet. What's the first thing that they should do at that point in time? There's a problem staring them in the face. What's the first thing that the son or daughter or family member should do with regards to this whole issue? I mean, what do I do now is the first question.
Well, if you don't have anything in
place. No plan.
You're completely... You know, out of the blue.
Dad's dead. What do I do with dad?
So the first thing you want to do is call 911 if you're at home.
Okay, so. Let's assume we've gotten past that part, all right?
And then you need to find a funeral home. But that's when all those questions we're going to start asking your family when they come see us is there's a line of questions.
Yeah, but it already happened now. So I just call you and then what, you come get them?
So,
or
yeah, we will come and pick up your loved one.
The hospital or wherever, right?
Wherever before the questions? Yes.
Oh, okay.
Before the questions. Yeah, this is in the moment kind of situation. Right.
So we will come and we'll pick up your loved one and then we bring them into our care and make sure that.
And you can help with the whole National Cemetery thing.
We do all of that. Yeah, all we need is, and I call it, it's the golden ticket, and what it is it's your DD-214,
which Department of Defense Forum discharge papers.
Your discharge papers. Once we have that and we're able to look it over, that's your golden ticket to go into the National Cemetery and save
all
that
money.
That's
a golden ticket towards a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's a lot in my world.
I keep my husband's in my purse.
No, any vet, laminate that for sure.
But the veteran's wife, if she dies first, she can still go in.
Absolutely, yes.
She'll just be on the bottom.
Yes.
Right? I mean,
we've already had that discussion off mic. Okay? So, here's another thing, though, a little spin on that. So, you know, we live in the Tampa Bay area, right? And MacDill is right there.
Yeah.
So, does MacDill have any role to play in the situation with regard to, taking care of our deceased veteran? I mean, do we need to contact them? Are they in the loop in any way, or should they be in the loop in some way?
I would not reach out to them unless the family requests it, and then we can, it depends on what the family's looking for. When it comes to doing all the veterans benefits, we schedule everything with the VA for the cemetery. Their scheduling office is in St. Louis, actually, and they schedule all the national cemeteries in the country goes through St. Louis. For a while there was a little bit of a hiccup because there was a big fire there back in the 1970s and a lot of the discharge papers were lost. So they're actually asking veterans if they had a copy to make a copy to give back to the government.
Their form is gone.
Yes.
Do you still have yours?
But
that's why you need to laminate it.
Exactly.
It's a big deal.
I laminate important stuff all the time.
Yeah. And it's always funny because when I go into somebody's home and do a pre-arrangement for them and I said, do you mind if I get a copy of your DD-214? They know exactly where it's at every time.
It's a big deal.
It's like your driver's license or whatever.
Within like 3 minutes, they've already produced a copy for me, and I put it in their file. And
so you just said when you went into the person's home, so they don't have to come to the funeral parlor.
No, I would say probably 90% of the time I go to their house.
Oh, that's so good.
Yes.
That's interesting. I did not know that was an option.
Yeah, that's so really good. It's hard when
some people don't want to go into.
They just don't
want to
walk in the door.
They don't want to walk in the door, so I will gladly, you know, set appointment, and there's no cost or obligation. I will come and give you a free consultation at your house.
Wow, that's wonderful.
And go over everything, what your wishes are. Make sure I give you that, you know, magic book to where you can fill out all that information for your family to leave with them. And then if you want to proceed and you know, make arrangements and get on a plan, then I will be more than happy to assist you with
it's important to start that conversation. And if any of our listeners out there are listening and you live in a community that has speakers or lunches, would you go and speak to a group of people?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, our goal is to get in front of as many veterans as possible to go over what their benefits are. You know, unfortunately, sometimes we have one come in where they don't have, you know, any money to pay for the cremation, because you're still obligated to pay for the cremation or the casket or whatever, the, you know, if you want to be buried or cremated.
Right.
And they don't have money for just a basic cremation, so then we have to find resources to where that.
And you'll help them.
And we're able to help, and we're able to help families with
that. How do you find those resources? Like, who would pay for my cremation?
There's different organizations out there.
My goal paid already.
Yeah, there's organizations out there that we work with that are willing to help with
veterans. That's nice.
And, oh, very interesting.
Being, you know, you had mentioned MacDill and this being a military town, it's beneficial to us to where there's a lot of organizations out there that are veteran based. So
yeah, and there's probably, and there's also, I had heard recently about somebody, just a veteran paid for another veteran.
Mm-hmm.
Was financially able to do that, and what a nice thing for them to be able to have that.
Yeah, exactly.
And vets should know, nobody should be dying on the streets. Nobody should, all veterans, please listen to this, nobody should be dying on the streets. Nobody should not have hospice. Nobody should not have a proper burial. There are people out there that can help you. And like I say, I never know all the answers, but I always know somebody. I can find somebody that does. So if you have any further questions about anything, please feel free. Yeah.
And all veterans that get cremated, we don't outsource any of that. That's all done in-house. And all veterans that get cremated with a retired flag in our facility. So it's kind of neat to see that. And people donate flags. We have some mailboxes at some of the VFW posts, and inside,
wow.
Right at Veterans Funeral Care, there's a mailbox where you can bring a retired flag. And then when you walk in, the one room, there's like 8 barrels of retired flags. So we are very, very thankful that folks are willing to, you know, go out of their way to bring retired flags for us, and we really appreciate that.
Yeah, that's very respectful, and that's very, very important. But right now it's time to hear from our wonderful partners, so don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today, or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week. And did you know they got the Reader's Choice Award for 2019 for the best chiropractic in Pinellas County? So check them out.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help, because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears. Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, Answers to the Questions You Didn't Know You Needed to Ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Introducing the life-changing Footbar Walker.
I'm Peggy from Danville, Kentucky, and I'm 91 years old. The Footbar Walker revolutionized my care of George. It absolutely benefits the patient and the caregiver both, and that's the beauty of it. It's so easy to use. It folds up just like a dream. I got it in and out of the car without any effort at all. The saving that I made from having to put him in a nursing home came to about $192,000.
Does someone you love use a walker? Do they struggle to get up from a seated position? Are you a caregiver dealing with physical pain and stress as you help your patient? The Footbar Walker was designed to assist not only the patient, but also the caregiver. Patients have more control standing up, and no lifting from the caregiver is required. See how it works at thefootbarwalker.com. That's thefootbarwalker.com. Peggy, would you recommend the Footbar Walker?
Do I ever? I would not be in the health that I'm in today at this age had it not been for the Footbar Walker.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Yes, and we are back. So, Doug, where can our listeners find you?
We're at 830 North Belcher Road, right in Clearwater. We're fairly new there. I encourage anyone to reach out to me, schedule a tour of our military museum. When you come in and kind of get a private tour, you get a little bit more information on all the interesting
kind
things.
Kind of an easy way to ease in a little bit.
That's the side door one.
Yeah.
It's a unique funeral home. You're never going to see another one like it. Uh-huh. Most of them are very traditional. This is about as non-traditional as you can get. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really special. And they have a Jeep out front.
I call it the little mini tank out front. And
it's cool.
there's literally a little military vehicle out
front. A real one.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. I don't get up on North Belcher
you
very
need
often,
to go up
so I need
to go
see it. Right, for sure.
And then we have the Marine boots that are painted on the blacktop in the parking lot. And we have a Harley Davidson that's refurbished to look like it came, straight from the military,
neat.
And it's really, really neat.
Yeah, it's really so come and see the vehicles and see the museum and maybe just think about making some plans.
Yeah.
Does everybody wear a suit and tie there?
No, I would say not.
Good.
Not everybody wears a suit.
That's what always freaks me out when I go into a funeral home. All of them in their shiny black suits.
Yeah, it's a little serious.
We will wear suits when we have to wear suits.
Yeah.
But I will dress really kind of more casual for
makes
for
you what, more comfortable.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough situation as it is. You don't want to be choking on your collar. Really.
Yeah.
So do you have a phone number where people can call?
Normally, if you want to make an appointment, I normally would just kind of give them, my personal cell phone number.
Couldn't you want to do that?
And I'm originally from Ohio, so I still have my Ohio number. It's 330-502-9809. I don't mind if you call me on that. I'd be more than happy to assist you any way I can. If you want to do a tour of the museum or you want a free consultation, please feel free to reach out to me. I'd be happy to.
And please do, because it will be better for yourself in the future, I promise.
It will. And your kids and your family will appreciate it. I don't know how many times, when a death occurs and they know that their arrangements are going to be with us and they come in and it's, 10, 15 minutes, a couple papers to sign, when do you want to have the service, they give you the date, and then that's it. And then as they're walking out, I swear every one of them kind of looks up to the sky and says, thank you, Mom.
Yeah,
they just saved me all that grief and heartache.
Well, because, you're in such an emotional state. My husband and I had everything pre-planned. But when he died, they came and they took the body and everything. And the next day, the cremation guy called and talked to me and everything, and 2 days later I said, I don't know one word he said to me. I had no idea. Right. Did he say he's sending 5 death certificates or 3, or did he say he did? Did he file this or whatever?
Because
I didn't hear one word he said to me. And then, but knowing that it was someone that I could trust, I knew he was going to take care. He took care of it.
Yeah, and you had mentioned death certificates, and Florida has 2 different forms. They have a long form and a short form. Some places request a long form, and all that the difference is the long form has the cause of death on it, where short form does not.
Right.
Some places want a long form in Florida, some places want a short form. So I always suggest, you know, kind of get an even number and, you know, divide it by 2. Get, you know, if you're going to get 10, get 5 short and get 5 long. That way you have them.
It's so easier to get it in the beginning than try to get it later.
And it doesn't hurt to get a couple extra, because there's going to be a couple things that come up where you're going to need a death certificate.
Proof, yeah.
Because most people say, well, can I just get a copy of it? And I said, some places want a certified death certificate.
Yeah, it's too easy to make copies of stuff today. Yeah. Well, thank you, Doug, for being with us.
Well, thank you for having us. It's been a pleasure.
So, Sean, what else do you have to say to our listeners today?
Hey, what else you got for us?
What else you got for me?
Sean might have something good to say.
Well, you know, I kind of do. I mean,
I thought so.
I never have nothing to say, right? So here's the deal. It's a new year, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so a new year is a good time to kind of do a little quick reevaluation. A lot of times we make our resolutions. Well, I'm going to dot, dot, dot. I'm going to eat less. I'm going to drink more. I'm going to work out more. I'm not going to work out anymore. You know, your resolutions, right? So this is an awfully good time to kind of take a half a second and look at some of your legal stuff, especially your estate planning and your incapacity plan. This is not sexy stuff, but it's super important.
And things change.
Things
don't
change. Yeah, you know, that document that you haven't pulled out of the firebox for 15 years, it might be time to do a little refresh.
And especially if you just moved here from Ohio.
Different jurisdiction, of course. And then this is a good time to say, okay, I'm going to do what Sean said. I'm going to take a look at that stuff. How old is it? And maybe I should get a little refresher, a little tune-up, so to speak. We like to say that you change your oil, you change your tires, and you change your underwear.
Yeah.
Well, you might be wanting to change that estate plan. Because
sometimes the people that are in your estate plan are not alive
they've
anymore.
They've died. You don't like them the same way. You don't even know who
you
they are.
You divorce them.
You've divorced them, goodness gracious. Or, you know, there's been some development in your world over the last year where...
Or you had a new kid.
A new kid. I just had a grandchild. I mean, that was crazy. I'm a grandfather now. That's freaking me out.
At your age. But I'm a great-grandmother. I'm not impressed.
There's always one of you in the room. So the idea here is, though, it's time to look at that. Because sometimes, you know, that person, maybe it's your spouse, you appointed him or her to be your power of attorney.
And they're not here anymore.
Or they're starting to slip, right?
Yeah.
And they're starting to lose capacity,
right.
And that kind of sneaks up on you, right? Well, maybe take this January and say, hey, I'm going to look at that and fix it.
Yeah.
You know, you come in to see me, you can bring it in to see me, I'll take a look at it, I won't charge you anything to do that, and we can have the conversation is, should we do a tune-up or not?
Right.
And now's the time. January is a great time to do that.
So
good
I encourage
advice.
You to do that.
I totally encourage you to do it. I have one family that gets together every year on New Year's Day, and they call it the black party. They all wear black. And they go, do we want to change anything from last year? But they make a joke out of it, but they do it.
Is there tequila involved?
Probably.
I hope so.
But they do it. Because they had something like really horrific happen in their family when someone died.
Right.
And they never wanted that to happen again. So
Everything changes.
Yeah.
I mean, once somebody dies, everything changes. And you should update your will and make sure people are aware of what your wishes are, because once it's too late, then you know you can't change it.
Exactly.
You know, Doug, I do have a special offer for people in my world and for estate planning. I'll do your document, especially your will or your trust. I'll do it for absolute free, no cost, free of charge.
Wow.
There is one small catch.
You got to be the beneficiary.
No, that's optional. The catch is you got to come see me the day before you die.
The day before.
So, and I'll do it for free.
Yeah.
That's one catch.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Obviously, you need to plan it.
What's your phone number?
727-539-0181. Give me a call.
Thank you so much, my friends, for tuning in today. You know how much I love you. Remember, God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day.
When you're down and trouble, and you need a helping.